We are going to talk about invitation today. We are going to talk about this idea that we are invited by God to invite others into relationship, both with God and with each other. Here's the thing about God. He is not a bully God. He's not an abusive God. He's not a God that comes with this power to rage it over you. He is a God who loves you so deeply and profoundly, enough that He made a way for you to come into relationship, and He stands there as an inviting God. He's done everything. Everything's accomplished for us to enter in. It doesn't mean that it's going to just be a cakewalk, so to speak, but everything is ready for us, and the invitation is there. All we have to do now is to receive it and start walking into the fullness. We are invited to invite. I want you to say that with me. I'm going to say it again so you can get it in your mind. We are invited to invite. All early adapters, I love it. Here we go. We're going to do it all together. Ready? One, two, three. We are invited to invite. Now again, you're invited to participate in the dialogue. You don't have to. There's no pressure. There's no obligation. It's an invitation. Now, here's where it gets exciting. Because today, what I'm going to do is I'm stepping out on a limb today. I'm going to invite your participation. And by your, I really mean your. We're going to trust God that He's going to stir different hearts. We're going to trust that the words that He inspires through us are going to be for us. And the theme that we're going to carry is that of invitation. And what that means is I'm inviting you right now to consider, how have you experienced invitation in your life, specifically as it comes to relationship with Jesus? So invitation into that relationship, invitation into community, invitation to come to church, invitation to come to community groups, any of those. And what's so important is that we understand that as followers of Jesus, when we come to that place of choosing Jesus, He then calls us into ministry. And it's really a life of invitation. Now, some of you here are going, there is no chance that I'm going to go up front. And God might be nudging you. If that's you, and God already has something on your heart, but you're saying, no, listen. You can come up here, picture everybody in our underwear. That's a technique. I don't know if it would be. You can come up here. Sorry, I digress. I got to stick to the script, right? You can come up here and know that every single person here loves you deeply. Right? We're here for one another. We're here to cheer you on. We're here to hear what God has done. What this is today is an opportunity for testimony. And I learned this probably a number of years ago in school, but forgot it, and it just recently has come back to mind. And the Hebrew word for testimony means do it again. And so when we speak about what God has done in our lives, we're saying, God, would You move in us again? God, would You stir us again? Would You draw us again? Would You capture our hearts again? And so the opportunity is for you to come and share and inspire us. I had a conversation with somebody a few weeks ago who was feeling demoralized in a certain season in their life. They had been involved with significant leadership in various ministries and just weren't feeling it. and didn't understand how essential they are, regardless of what they're doing and what the season is, to us as a church. Every single one of us is essential. Do we understand that? That's important. Every single one of us is needed. Every single one of us has the ability for God to speak a word through to encourage us. So what I'm going to do right now is, if you already have something, if you go, yeah, I remember the time that this person invited me to come, then I just want you to make your way up and just start sitting along the front row here. Because what we're going to do is a little bit of back and forth. I'm going to speak, you're going to share, I'm going to interview, you're going to speak a little word. We're going to do that back and forth. So if you've already got something on your heart, just make your way forward. Just into the front seats here. Nice. Welcome, Deb. Awesome. A few more. Are you getting excited? A little excited, a little bit. What's happening here? This is not the program. This is not how we do it. It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes we need a little shake. We need a little unsettling. Jesus lived his earthly ministry life. He moved. He challenged. He went to the cross. Right? And this is something that I make a point of drawing our attention to every Sunday because it's so crucial. But the danger is that we start to tune it out. We don't actually understand the significance of it. Anybody here sin this week? The thing about it is that before Jesus, that sin actually imprisons you. Like it actually locks you down, it binds you up, it has a hold on you. But what Jesus did when he willingly went to the cross, when he allowed Roman soldiers to put nails through his wrists and his feet, when he surrendered his body and said, "It is finished," every sin that you and I just put our hands up for, every sin was covered. Absolutely. Not just covered, but eradicated, broken, dissolved, forever gone. As far as God is concerned, all we do is confess it. The forgiveness is done when we have relationship with Jesus. And it's so imperative that we understand that. Right? So Jesus did that work for us. Now, if you're here and you haven't made that commitment to Jesus, or maybe you did when you were a child a long time ago and God is saying, "Hey, I want you back. I want you back full time on my team. I need you." That might be your day today. We're going to have ministry teams at the end of the service and we want to pray with you. We want to see you come fully alive. We want to see all of us come fully alive, don't we? All right. Jesus did this essential work on earth. He went to the cross. He rose again. And as he's leaving, he says these words to us. Now, they were spoken to those who were gathered around Jesus, but by the very nature of what was spoken, they're spoken exactly to us. Okay, he says this, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." How did he get that authority? Because of the work that he just did, right? Adam and Eve gave up their key to the kingdom. Jesus came and with what he did, he wrenched the key back. And he now has the authority. And so he's saying, "I've got it now. Don't worry about the enemy. Don't even focus on him. Be aware of what he's doing, but put your focus on me. All authority is in me. And then he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now that is a lot. That is a lot that Jesus commanded his disciples. That's a lot that Jesus did. But by very nature of what he's saying here, it transfers down to us. We're now called to live lives as disciples. Living the way that Jesus called us to live. Doing the things that Jesus called his disciples to do. We are invited into that key role, that key responsibility. This is Jesus inviting and saying, hey, I've got the authority, I'm giving it to you. Come on, let's go. All right. Deb, you're first up. Come on up here. This is my friend Deb. Deb is such a blessing to me personally because every Sunday I come and see her. Well, there might be one or two here. I have to be honest. But every Sunday Deb comes and she is the one who tirelessly gets all of our communion ready so that we can participate in the Lord's Supper. So let's just say thanks to Deb for that. Thank you, Deb. Love you.
My pleasure.
Tell us, yeah, perfect. Tell us about how God's invited you, how you've sensed God's invitation, or somebody else inviting you into a relationship.
I need to go back maybe a little bit younger.
Okay.
I grew up in kind of an unchurched family. There was a fight about religion in our family. I knew enough about Jesus so that when I became an adult, and I was raising a special needs son who had autism. I did try taking him to a church, but because of his autism, he couldn't handle it at the time. When he became 19, he told me, Mom, I need my own place. So I had arranged that, and it was done in about 3-4 weeks. He had his own place. And then through that, he became in contact with sort of an outreach ministry. So all of a sudden, there's my son, who could not handle church, going to church in the small Lutheran, very quiet liturgy place. And then one Easter, in 2002, all of a sudden he was staying at my house, and he was going to want to go to church, and I heard about the school right next door. Imagine that, it was Crossroads. That day was the day I got my invitation. I first heard Pastor Frank talk about grace and small groups, and I was invited to a small group that day.
Fantastic. Beautiful. Thank you, Deb. Thanks for sharing. So that beautiful movement of Crossroads, as it was just beginning in the early 2000s, has resulted in this beautiful formation. Even in the years I've known you, Deb, I've seen God move. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Excellent. Now, I know that that God's tugging, that there's some significant things that God wants to say through us, and there's still some seats available up here, okay? There's still some seats available up here, and so I just want to give you that little nudge, a little invitation, okay? The scripture that you've got on your programs, if you look at it, is where Jesus goes to find Philip, and he just says this, just simply this, come and follow me. Come and follow me. Now, at the heart of ourselves, those are the words that Jesus speaks to each of us in our heart. He says, come and follow me. I've got fullness of life for you. I've got everything you need. I've made a place for you. Come and follow me. So again, I don't always have this strong sense, but my sense is that there's some of us here who have faded away, who have drifted back, who have become nominal. And I just sense God is trying to grab you this morning. He's saying, I love you. I know you. I know what you've gone through. Nothing you've done is too far for me to overcome. Come and follow me. If that's you, today's that day. Today's that day to press forward. So Philip finds Nathanael, tells him, we found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Come and see. And so Jesus speaks this word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is something that he couldn't know other than by the Holy Spirit telling him what it is that happened. And he says, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Nathanael is astonished. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus says, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. Church, Jesus is calling us into the greater things. He's calling us into the greater things. And it takes us being faithful in the initial and the small things, but he's calling us into the greater things. Now, we know some of the greater things that Jesus did, don't we? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cleansed skin disease. He drove out demons. He functioned in the greater things. All right. The invitation there, church, is for us to come and follow, to press in, to not give up, to not be satisfied with nominal, but to really go. All right, Jody, I'm going to invite you up. This is my friend Jody. Welcome, the mic is yours. Okay. Now, here's the thing. I know most of these people, and I want to affirm everyone, but we're just going to press in. Jody, you know that I love you. And I affirm you, I appreciate you. Awesome. Let's go. Tell us the invitation.
Okay, so when you say invitation, I wanted to say that it can look like many things. And so for me, lots of people have heard my story, and I definitely was going through a really difficult time. And my sister, who was going through it with me, was watching, and she just knew and felt God telling her that I needed Jesus. I needed to get back into church. And because we are so close, it was less of an invitation and more of a declaration of you need to go back right. to church. Yeah. And it was just like that. She's like, you need Jesus right now. You need to go back to church. And she's going to church, and she even felt compelled to say, and I don't think you need to come to my church. I think you need to go to Crossroads. And so in her discernment of listening to what God was telling her, it invited me to just listen and think it through myself. And so I felt the invitation, even though it was more of a, you know, I could have taken it as being more of a demand and taken it incorrectly. But I definitely felt it as an invitation. And through that, then went to Crossroads, came to you. You invited me then to Freedom Sessions, And then through that, other people invited me in again through inviting me into their story. And so I just want people to think of invitation as it doesn't have to be, please come to church with me, or please join this group, or things like that. It's just having a discernment of inviting people to experience Him.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jody. That's awesome. Let's thank Jody. God bless you. That's good. That's encouraging. That's good. So it doesn't have to be just come to church. It can be you need to get your butt to church. Right, Jody? That's good. That's good. Okay, so we're going to go Adrian. Adrian, come on up. It's my friend Adrian. New to the coast this last year. Yeah. Tell us about invitation, brother.
We're talking the invitation as opposed to like when I first believe. You just want the invitation.
You know, I think the first believe is also invitation. We're looking for that encouragement. That
because I got stories.
Okay.
So when I was a wee lad, I lived in a co-op with a bunch of kids. And a group of my friends went to Sunday school. And I was invited by them, but had to sit on the curb and watch the bus come every Sunday, pick them up and leave, sat there, and then waited hours for them to come back after lunch. My father and his brothers were raised in India. His father was in the military, and they were all beaten and molested by the Irish Christian Brothers, which my uncle wrote a book about. I'm sure most of you have heard that about all of that scandal. Anyway, regardless, so my father had kind of a mad hate-on for God and religion because of what man had done to him. So as time progressed and I became a teenager, as teenagers often follow the path of angst, kind of became a little bit separated from my dad. And at that point, I made a friend at school named Vivian, and she was a good friend. And she invited me quite a few times to church, and I went. But what sticks out in my mind was a convention, and we're talking probably like 93, 94. And I'm pretty sure her and her friends and all the fundraising through the church to get people to go to conventions got me there too, because I agreed it sounded like a lot of fun. It was fresh fire, and it was like 94 or something back in Ontario. Anyway, I went, and this was not the point where I met with God, but that was the first real invitation that sticks out in my mind. I did, however, bring a lot of contraband with me. I think I had a backpack full of Dungeons & Dragons books that I brought with me to convention, which is a strange thing, I think, to bring. And I distinctly remember that in the end when they did a big altar call after the whole series of events, like I didn't get to even look at my Dungeons & Dragons books because the programming was so heavy. But regardless, at the end when they did the altar call, I remember Vivian and all her friends, especially some of her friends that had a crush on me at the time, crying because I did not come up. I felt like I was the only one. Like picture a big arena and one guy is left in the seats. And everybody else is at the front. But I remember in my head, even at like 13 or 14 years old, thinking, if I'm going to believe this, it's not going to be under any sort of pressure. It's not going to be other people telling me to come and whatever. It's going to be when I feel it inside and I believe it. And I look back and pat myself because I think that's a pretty mature thing at 13 or 14 to think that way. And I'm almost done, Joel. Sorry, I don't want to monopolize all the time.
Do I look stressed?
Okay, I got more stories.
All right.
I'm almost done. So if you jump ahead again to I'm a young man in my 20s, I'm working, and I have a girlfriend that I'm dating who works with me, and a bunch of people at the workplace mentioned that she was kind of running around behind my back with another guy that worked there, and so I said, I needed to know the answer. I didn't like the feeling of having the wool pulled over my eyes. I don't like that at all. So I was coming home on the bus, and I gave God a door. Or I don't know if you would call it fleecing him, if it would fall into that category. But I said, look, if you're up there, if you're real, I need an answer because I'm losing sleep. This is really eating me up. I've gone to both people and confronted them, and they both deny what's going on, but yet everybody says it's going on. So if you're real, I need an answer. 3 minutes later, I got my answer. So I get off the bus, and I'm waiting to transfer onto another bus, and the wife of the man that was kind of messing around with my girlfriend comes around the corner pushing her baby carriage with their new baby, and we knew each other from the past, and she sees me, and she's like, what are you doing here? I was standing, the bus stop happens to be in front of the courthouse where she's going to get some papers, and she looks at me, and she's like, you know that blank is having an affair on me. And I said, yes, and I know who he's having it with. And we shared information. So God gave me my answer, and I was like, wow. Okay, I believe now. Sorry, I think that's all the stories for now. Okay.
So the invitation was to see him, experience him, and now the change is coming, right?
Bang, it was good.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, Aiden. Bless you, man. Bless you. All right, there's a chance that we're not going to get through everybody this morning. That's okay. What we're going to do is I'm going to pause my notes. Peter, I'm going to invite you up. Share a word. This is my friend Peter. Please.
I have to tell you two things. We were 2 years ago on a cruise. We had a lot of problems to come on the cruise. The ship went without us, and we had to follow the ship by aircraft and blah, blah, blah. So finally, we went on the ship. One night, we were invited, or not invited, we were on a table with four other people. They were very, very, very rich Americans. I would have a word for that, but I'm too shy to say that. Anyway, we were talking a little bit, and everybody said, you have to tell us what you're doing. And they began to talk about what they're doing, a lot of money. So just flowing out the dollar bills out of the eyes. So finally they asked us what you were doing. And then we said, God led us to Canada. It was quiet. It was so quiet that people were so shocked. And after a while, one lady said, yeah, you are praying and preaching and stuff. We said, yes, I'm whatever you call. We help people and we pray with. And then she said, I have to talk with you. I said, okay, please come whenever you like to come. So we, in the next 2-3 days, we saw her sometime. What's never really the moment to talk with her. And one time we were sitting on the crow's nest at the top of the ship, nice chairs and quiet. And she comes by and she said, since a while I sense I have to do some things with the Lord. And then I asked her, do you know Jesus? She said, no, not really. I said, okay. I talked her a little bit about it and asked her, you like to be a Christian? She said, yes, I do. We prayed with her. In 2 minutes, it was done, and she was the happiest lady I ever saw on the ship. Yeah. The other thing is, it's about 2 weeks ago. I think some of you know we were in Switzerland for 3 weeks, and in the last week, we met our relatives. And with these relatives, there were a girl, or it's wrong. It's a lady. She has a kind of a blood cancer, so she has to refresh her blood every 6-7 weeks. And they were on the way to make her a port here to get the blood faster in her, and it's easier, and it's not to have some injections and stuff. So we were talking, and certainly she said, I have to talk with you. I really have to talk with you. I see you since years, and you have something different. I like to talk with you. Now, you have to know, this region where we were, the people are so stubborn. It happened at least 2 nuclear explosions. that they will change their mind.
But the other day we went to this lady and she makes us a beautiful coffee, so small, peaceful, beautiful. We talked with her a little bit and then I asked her, what do you like to talk with us? I know it, but anyway. And she said, you know, I'm in difficulties and I sense there is a God. Can you talk me about it? So we talked with her, I think about 5 minutes. And then she was ready. We invited her to be a Christian, and in 2 months she was a Christian. Beautiful. And maybe I can show you a picture for you. Now, I told her, I think, ask really if you need this port. I have a sense that God has a plan. And she didn't make the port now, and the blood things are going up and down, but tendency up. So if we are praying really for help, this girl, I think she will be healed. So I could talk a lot, but it's finished.
Thank you, Peter. Beautiful. Let's thank Peter. We celebrate when hearts turn to Jesus. And I think that's a key thing that it's not just for Peter and Frenny or myself or Guy. It's for all of us to be having these conversations, to be saying, hey, what's going on in your life? I know God who loves you. And I know God who has a real plan for you. And as we have those conversations, it becomes natural to invite them into that relationship. I'm going to do one more key idea, key concept that we are invited and that we are invited to look and to smell like heaven. We're invited to look and to smell like heaven. Now just close your eyes if you're comfortable. Again, invitation. Just consider this for one moment. Close your eyes. What do you imagine heaven looks like and smells like? What do you imagine the people are like? Jesus said this when he started to speak, to preach. He said, hey, you have to change your minds. You have to stop thinking the way that you're thinking. The word he used was repent, metanoia. You have to change the way that you're thinking because the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, Crossroads, we spent a number of months praying, investing in, collaborating with one another to determine what does our vision look like. And we came up with 5 key statements. They're all available on our website. One was this. And it says that we see a church committed to love even when it's difficult. Anybody face difficulties? We see a church committed to love even when it's difficult. Having a spirit of forgiveness towards everyone. Generously extending grace to all. Loving others before they love us. To beautiful people who are sitting here, when we start to really do that, when we start to really live in that, we become culture changers. And not only is it beautiful for us who are here, but we can't help but shift the culture that's around us. And I believe this is one of the key things that Jesus carried, one of the ways that he looked, one of the ways that he lived, one of the ways that he moved. Shelly, I'm going to invite you up. This So my friend Shelley. Shelley, tell us about invitation.
Well, I've got lots of stories that I could tell, like Adrian and everybody else that's shared, but what God really laid on my heart to share was our journey to Crossroads. We moved up to the Sunshine Coast at the end of August last year, knowing absolutely nobody. And we felt that God was calling us to come to Seychelles, and we didn't really know why. I love the coast, so I was quite willing. And when we, there was one Sunday, Dan and I were both working at independent grocers. And there was one Sunday that Dan was working, and we were living in Half Moon Bay, and the church that we had attended a couple of times was up in Madeira Park, and I had no way to get there. And so it was Saturday, and I was using the internet to try and figure out where God was calling me to attend church on this Sunday. And so the first website, it was alphabetical list.
That's all right.
And
good
the first site, I can't remember what the first church was, but their website wasn't working. And then I hit Crossroads was the next one on the list that came up, and I liked what I saw. I saw the advertisement about Freedom Session, and I saw that it was like half a block away from where my husband worked, and I thought, I just really felt that this was where I was supposed to go. So Sunday morning, I get up, and Dan drops me off on his way to work, and I walked through the door and was blown away. The presence of God in this place, the welcoming invitation of every person who greeted me, the worship, I can't remember who was on worship that Sunday, but it was amazing. I did not walk out of the church. I floated out of the church, and I was floating for the rest of the day. I just felt like I was in the presence of God, and every Sunday when we come here, we feel that same way. That Sunday, after when Dan got home, I told him, I said, you've got to check out this event. We were planning on going back to the church in Madeira Park the following Sunday. I said, you need to come to this church and check this out, and I want you to see whether you feel the same way. And he felt the same way when we came back the following week. It was just, and the programs, we haven't been involved in any Bible studies other than Freedom Session. We joined Freedom Session, and it was amazing. But what really, really cemented it for us, and I'm looking right at her, was Julie and Russ opening up their home for pizza nights every couple of weeks. And we built so many wonderful relationships through attending the pizza nights. And then, and actually, it was Dan and I were talking about this the other day. It was the exact same weekend that Russ and Julie started their pizza nights for the year. And then I can't remember whether it was the Saturday or the Sunday. It was Thanksgiving weekend, and Brianne and Danielle and Gerald had invited anybody that didn't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving to come for Thanksgiving dinner. So here we are, two new people. We didn't know anybody in the church, and we went to the pizza night on Friday night, and then we went to the Thanksgiving dinner, and it was just the relationships that have developed out of those outreaches, those community programs. Well, they're not even really programs. They're just people opening up their home. And it's just, I love you guys.
Awesome. Thank you, Shaw. Bless you. Yeah, that's great. So good. Invitation. There's a lot of invitation in there. A lot of invitation. Russ and Julie, when are the pizza nights starting again? October. You're invited to those. Those are a beautiful way to get connected in a broader, in the broader setting. Nope. You got to come back up. You got to come up here. We need to hear you. Yeah. You got to come up here. Come on up, Julie. This is my friend Julie. Julie, welcome.
Thank
please.
You. I just wanted to share it similar to Jody, I think, was saying that invitation isn't just somebody inviting you, and it was a God thing. A few years ago, I think it was just my age and what was going on in my body and just some things that were happening in the community, but I was feeling brutally alone, and I'm always surrounded by people. I've got a big family, lots of friends, but I was just feeling this aloneness, and I was mad at God about it and kind of trying to process, and I just, one Sunday, I just said to my mom, I just feel like standing up and saying, could someone please invite me to their house or do something? And my mom looked at me and said, I think you should do that. And anybody that knows me, I don't like being in front of a whole bunch of people. I don't like being seen. My house is my sanctuary where I am safe. And it was a big thing to kind of go invite people into my house, let them see my junk, let them see that my house isn't in the condition that I want it to be yet. But fortunately, I'm married to an amazing person whose love language is to feed people. And I kind of went, okay, maybe we can do this. And every week that we do it, we used to do it every week, and then it was just too much because I'm working full-time. But every other week, every Friday comes, and I'm like, oh, okay. But it was God inviting me. And sometimes the invitation is, if you're feeling something is lacking in your life, that it might be God prompting you that there's a need in your community to do this, and that it may take you being brave to do that thing that you're actually asking your community to do for you. So I just wanted to make that aware that this pizza night, people think they come and go, oh, how do you do this? It's so easy for you. And I'm like, it's not easy, but it is necessary, and I'm fed by it, and my husband loves it, and we love the relationships, and it's a place where if there's anybody new, we definitely started it not wanting people to feel like they needed to support us in our and what we wanted to do in the community. It's something where every Friday we go, it might just be our own family. I think the least we had was two people, and it was great. And then I think the most we've had is 52. It was, like, insane. There were people, and so if you come, just know, like, if you have trouble with big groups of people, God might be asking you to process that. We just do whatever we can do. And I just wanted to challenge you that if you're feeling in community right now and that there's a need, it might be God inviting you to do something that you're a little bit nervous or terrified to do, but that you're a piece of the puzzle. So.
Absolutely. Julie, thank you. Yeah, let's thank Russ and Julie, who are models of what it means to invite. And I would affirm that, Julie, that sometimes how a word of knowledge will work, that God will put something on your heart that that he's given you the ability to address in his strength. So thanks for that. We're going to do one more, Keith. I'm going to pass this to you. Share about invitation, my friend.
My invitation happened quite a few years ago. I was about 15, 16 years old at the time. I think most of you have heard this story again, but I just feel that I have to share my story again. Growing up on the Sunshine Coast, very active in sports, God has, not bragging about anything, has blessed me. When it came to sports, it came easy to me. Growing up here in a small town, I was very competitive, and I'm just so blessed that he was blessed me with the natural ability in sports, so hockey, baseball, soccer. I was one of the more of the dominant, or one of the key players on the team. But that's something I want to touch with you just a little bit later on. So here I am playing midget AAA hockey in Vancouver. And at the time, being a goaltender, I pulled my hamstring. And I was at that time beginning to be the number one goaltender on this team. And there I was, down and out. I'm pretty sure a lot of you have probably pulled a hamstring. They just don't heal overnight. It takes weeks and sometimes maybe a month. But being young, yes, we do heal a little quicker. So one day, I'm in at home. Nobody's home. The TV is on, and it's a Christian TV. It's a Christian program on, and talking about God and healing. And why that TV was on at that time, and why nobody was home. My parents weren't home at that time. We were brought up going to church, so I had a little bit of a faith at that time. Not much, being 16, because you knew it all. You didn't need anybody else, right? So why not, right? So here I'm laying on the floor, and my hamstring is hurting. And I was like, oh, you know, I want to get back to playing hockey, because that's what, at that time in my life, that's what I really loved doing. And so anyways, as a program on TV was on, the guy said, I can't remember the preacher's name at the time, he says, if you are hurting at this time, put your hand on that place that hurts, and I'll pray for you. At 60, I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? So I'm looking around. Nobody's home. My parents aren't home. Nobody's home. Nobody's looking through the window. You're all right. I got nothing to lose. So there I'm laying on the floor, my feet out. I put my hand on my hamstring where it was hurting. And as he prayed, we all know what electricians know with a dimmer switch, how your light is bright. You take that dimmer switch and you bring it down, and that light dims down to nothing. All right? That's what happened to me that day. As I had my hand on my hamstring, that pain just went away. Just like that, in that moment. And I'm just like, that just happened? You know what just happened right there? I got up. I walked up and down the hallway with no pain. I wasn't ready to go back to playing hockey for at least another couple more weeks. When I showed up at practice the other day, or the following week, the coach was like, what are you doing here? I said, I'm good to go. At that time, I wasn't strong enough within my Christian faith at that time, but that at that moment, that concreted, that solidified my faith in God. So if you have doubts that God is not real, or you're struggling with his faith at this time, I just encourage you for that moment just to sit back. Take some time for yourself. Nobody needs to know. And pray. I want to touch back early on my conversation about talent that God has given myself for sports. There's also, God has given each and one of you a talent that nobody really has. But that's what makes you so special. So if you're struggling a little bit, all right, God loves you because God has given you a talent. Our talent shows up in this church every single day. The worship that shows up here. I can confess, and I got a few witnesses here, that's one gift God did not give me. I'm not going to go up and prove it because I just don't want you all just running out of the thing, you know. So I know there's lots of talent and gifts in this church, all right? There's just one more quick story. During fire season, I bought a truck, and I needed it just looked at, whatever. I thought there was something wrong. I took it up to a mechanic that I know just up the road for where I live. And as I brought it to him, he's looking at it, and I said, well, what do you think? I think there's something wrong with it. As he walks around the back of the truck, and he's listening to the exhaust, and he goes, oh, yeah, you got to miss on your cylinders. You got to miss. I'm like, no. You know, go back in your shop and grab one of those fancy machines you have there and put it on my truck to listen to this thing. And so anyways, I ended up taking down to the Ford dealership to get fixed because the mechanic at the time didn't have time to do it. He was so busy. And sure enough, cylinder number three was wrong. There's something wrong with that spark plug. Whatever. I just felt it on my heart today to come and share my story with you today, but also the God-given gifts and talents that is in this church, that is given to you, God has specifically given those to you. And I just feel that He wants you now to take those gifts and talents that He has given you. He's given you those talents that nobody else has. Right? To stand up with those gifts. Work with those gifts inside this community, inside this church, and also in our community.
So, awesome.
That's all I got to say about that.
Thank you, brother. That's enough. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. My two ladies who are just here, I want your stories. We're just running short on time, Brigitte and Brenda. I don't see them. Okay, we'll get them later. You beautiful church are amazing. It's 11:30. We need to wrap this up. And I'm excited. I'm excited for what God has for us. The key here is invitation. We are invited to invite. God will use every single one of us in any number of ways as we seek Him. It really comes down to us pursuing Him, hearing His voice that says, come. Come and follow me. All right, I'm going to invite our ministry teams forward for prayer and communion, and I'm going to pray. Can I invite you to stand, church, as I pray? Lord, there's a reality that we are called into this ministry of seeing one another, of seeing our friends come to relationship with you. You've invited us to invite. And we've heard so many stories today, Lord, so many from so many lives that there are a myriad of ways that you do this. Really what it comes down to is us saying yes to your invitation. When you say, come and follow me, it comes down to us saying yes. And so again, if you're here and God is drawing you back, or if you're here and God is drawing you maybe for a first time, I want to invite you to please, don't leave here. Please make your way forward. Let us pray for you. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to you, and we commit ourselves to taking a next step. And I pray, Lord, that you would, just like you gave courage to each and every person who came up and spoke today, I pray that you would give every single one of us courage as we move from here, that you would give us the vision that every relationship, every person that we come into contact with is really your child. They just don't know it yet. And so we ask you to give us open eyes to see how to engage, how to love, questions to ask, how to invite. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, have an amazing week. Amazing week. I want you to go with this thought, okay? And it ties in a little bit to what Keith was saying. There's this great gifted evangelist who said, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. If you can spell, I mean, risk. Faith is spelled risk, which means as we move from here, we're called into risk. Take the gifts that God has given you and exercise them. Step out and risk. Bless you, church. Have an amazing week.